Hello and welcome, or welcome back. If you have hung out with me before, then you already know all of the details, but for those of you that may be new, let me just take a moment to introduce myself. My name is Mallory Page. I'm a registered dietitian and I speak from a non-diet perspective. And my whole goal is always to just share information that you may not have heard before, because mainly the things that we interact with are very diet culture based, so that you can make informed decisions about how you want to interact with things like nutrition, wellness, fitness, and so many other things in culture as well. And today I am doing something that I've been avoiding for over probably a year since the last time I discussed a person on this podcast, which is we're going to be talking about Sarah's Day today. So I think that the first thing I want to do before I move forward is just give a disclaimer. And I know disclaimers can be annoying if you're already on board, but I do think that they're important. Whenever I discuss someone, I'm not discussing that person. I'm not discussing who that person is. I'm not trying to say if they're a good or a bad person. I honestly probably would not make any content about people unless it was something that I continuously got requests to do. And if it was not something that I thought actually influenced the way that people interact with food and exercise and body image, and I have a little bit of a personal story that I'll be sharing in today's episode that goes along with this, but the reason why I want to discuss this is because I want to discuss the ways that diet culture gets infused into the ways that people can present information, and how every single one of us can be affected by diet culture, and how the ways that we may not even know we're affected by diet culture can then affect others, especially people that are influencers, which we are discussing in influencers today, Sarah's Day. And I have actually had such a long history with Sarah's Day. And for those of you that are watching this on YouTube, you may already know that I have a long history with Sarah's Day, because I actually started my YouTube channel posting some of these reviews on some of the stuff that she did, fitness guides, Body Bloom, her clothing. And then later on, which I'm going to have this video that I'm mentioning linked in the description, I talked about her choice of promoting her Sweat It Limitless guide in this very particular way that we'll talk about a little bit later on, and some of the thoughts that I had come up and some of the scandals kind of that went along with that as well. And I know that when someone has a personal connection to an influencer, it can make the content feel different. You know, I covered Millie G Fit, and you know, I followed her for a little bit of time, but I didn't have a super long standing relationship to her content. I just kind of followed her to gather information, to try to present a very unbiased perspective. And today I'm going to try to present as unbiased of a perspective as possible and keep this as, you know, beneficial and, you know, like a bird's eye view, just so that people can feel supported in what it is that they are trying to gain from me discussing the ways that diet culture can influence Sarah's content. So, as always, I'm nervous. I understand we all have different viewpoints. I'm always welcome to discussing those. And I appreciate you guys for being here and for talking with me about this. So of course we need to start off just talking about who is Sarah's Day. So, oh my gosh, I should have shut the window. Can you guys hear that bird? I feel like it's just very nice to have the breeze coming in, and yet then when I leave the window open, it's a whole thing. So Sarah's Day is actually her YouTube name and or her social media name. Her real name now is Sarah Tills, which is her husband's last name, and it used to be Sarah Wilson. And she has been on YouTube and Instagram for upwards of 10 years, so a really long time, but she really took off when she got onto YouTube. And what brought her to YouTube, which, first of all, I know a lot of this backstory because I was such an avid follower and watcher of her for so long, but you can also find this information all over her YouTube channel. All of these old videos are still up. You can find it on her Instagram. You know, I'm not sharing anything new or trying to make up some story, but she really came to YouTube from Instagram to do a continuation of the content that she was already sharing, which was about acne and healing your hormonal acne, going off of the pill, which we have an episode coming up on birth control, just as a note, because it made me think of it. Ways to be, as she said, healthy, reach your fitness goals, her gluten-free, dairy-free journey, all of that type of stuff. And she definitely started out very, very fitness, health focused, and stayed that way for quite a long time, but accumulated a very large following, now totaling on YouTube 1.55 million people when I'm recording this, and also similar numbers on Instagram. I know she's over a million on there too. And she has a very, very dedicated audience. And she has really from the beginning, but it's just built over time. And her fans are diehard, which is why I'm always afraid to speak about this stuff. But I realize that my fear is less important than actually having these open discussions, because otherwise, how are we going to do it, you know? And now she shares mostly lifestyle content. I mean, I think she always kind of weaves in some of this more nutrition-based stuff, especially when she had a cooking app still called Sunny, but she has since moved away from the cooking app. And so, and even doesn't really do as many fitness guides. She hasn't come up with out with a fitness guide in over 2.5 years, maybe a little bit like going on 3 years. So she definitely doesn't share as much about that stuff anymore. It's much more so her family and being a mom and lifestyle content and running a business. And, you know, her and her partner, they have built very impressive businesses, both of them. Kurt, which is her partner, her husband as a photographer, and her in the whole Sarah's Day realm and many offshoots of that that she's done over time, most recently relaunching a activewear kind of loungewear line with White Fox, which she has done multiple times in different renditions over the years. So we're up to the point that now this is not as big of a piece of her content, but I think the important piece of this video is to look back for a moment to be able to talk about how diet culture can influence us and then influence the people that then follow us. So I actually did some research and rewatched a ton of her videos from different stages of her journey, from her very first videos up till her more recent videos, and even the most recent video where she specifically was talking about kind of health and stuff about 9 months ago from when I'm recording this. And I think that the thing that's very important to make note of when looking at this content is, number one, I'm not trying to say that Sarah 8 years ago, 10 years ago is the same person that she is now. And I'm also not trying to say that her having that content up is a negative thing or that she shouldn't do that. But it does help to give us the broader perspective of why some of the things that have happened throughout her journey and how some people have felt watching her content, like, why has that come about? So I will say, there is no doubt about it that as you watch her content from a complete outsider's perspective, it seems like she was the most heavily influenced by diet culture in the beginning. And over time, slowly but surely, that has lessened and lessened and lessened. And there are different things that have shown me that. But at the same time, I'm not trying to speculate on where she is at. I will speak to the things that she herself has admitted on podcasts and different stuff. I'm just saying, if you see how she speaks and we just take the words that she says, we don't try to deduce some type of meaning for what they mean from her. The way that she spoke was most certainly, without a doubt, the most diet culture oriented in the beginning. I actually pulled a few clips for you guys to try to showcase what I'm meaning. So here's the first one.
So Project Comeback was going well until last night when I had some fruit and nut mix. I need to just not have any because once I have one bowl, I can't stop. You don't want to know how much I had. It was ridiculous. So that was my dessert last night. It's the next day today and I've banned myself from fruit and nut mix because I have no off button and I just cannot control my portion sizes with fruit and nut mix, so I'm just not going to have any for a bit. But Project Comeback is going well. I hope you guys enjoyed this vlog. Sorry.
So that's kind of an insight into her relationship with food. And I honestly thought about, and this was, again, this was 7 years ago, so a long time ago, and I have another video that I'm going to show you that talks a little bit about her body. And honestly, I think I should offer a trigger warning here. Some of the content in the next clip that I'm going to play it's pretty intense. I'm not going to lie. It was actually kind of shocking to me watching back on some of this content and really just like, I honestly was just feeling for her some when I was, you know, watching this of like, oh, It's so hard when you are speaking to yourself in the way that she was. And I'm not trying to shame her because I've been in the exact same position. It was just kind of, it was surprising to me to see. But I highlight that clip because I think it's important to kind of keep in mind in terms of like the typical cycles of how she's interacting with food and her thought processes about it. And to go along with that, I think it's important context that before this, she, you know, weighed herself on a scale, looked at her body fat, talked about how much she had gained weight because she was cycling between eating raw vegan to then eating high fat because she needed to shred. And so the whole notion of the video and the Project Comeback that she's mentioning is that she feels like she's too heavy. And so the whole point of it is that she's trying to reduce how heavy she is. So I'm going to play you the other clip. This is from a vlog that is titled Losing Fat Body Update, What I Eat in a Day. Just for context, these videos have 950,000 views. I mean, she seriously has still so many views to this day from this content. Again, I just want to offer a trigger warning here because I do think this content is quite triggering for the wrong person. So if you don't think you should hear a specific body talk and someone kind of talking quite negatively about themselves, you should probably click out at this point in time and come back at a different time. I just don't want to trigger anybody, but I do think this is important to hear.
Lunch, but I thought while I'm waiting for some food inspiration, I would give you guys another body update because I haven't done one in a while. I've completely changed my workout routine and my fitness philosophy, I guess. I'm not really lifting weights at all anymore. I'm pretty much just doing plyometrics and body weight kind of stuff. The only weights I do use is like a medicine ball or like a 6 kilo weight that I'll do like a squat and press with. I'm like not doing any heavy squats or heavy weights at all because I want to lean out and look like a girl again, because I feel like when I was lifting really heavy, I was getting really bulky and looking like a boy. So I'm doing more girly exercises and I feel like they're really working. My abs are pretty good right now. Like, I'm actually pretty happy with that. And I haven't been eating super, super clean. Like, I just came back from the snow where we were eating like heaps of burgers and things like that. I tried to make it as whole foody as possible. So like eating real food, but yeah, I wasn't healthy by any means. And I ate a lot of food. My legs, I feel like they're a little bit chunky right now. You can't really tell in this, but I feel like they're a little bit chunky, but I'm really pretty happy with my abs. And I feel like I can get them nice and lean for summer, because that's what the goal is. Hashtag summer shred. My arms, I'm gonna have to get changed. My arms and my legs are my problem areas. I always carry my weight on my arms and my legs. So, you know, it's okay. Like, this is not great lighting. So just cut me some slack. My arms, oh my gosh, I have nothing.
Okay, I feel like you guys get the gist of that. There are a lot of other clips like this. There's actually one specifically where she weighs herself on camera and she talks about where she's at now versus where she was and exposes all of it. And this is not kind of just like a one-time experience. This is pretty common. And what I'm trying to highlight in this is not saying Sarah's doing something wrong. I'm not trying to shame her for feeling this way. Honestly, as I hear that, I just, again, as I was saying, I feel a lot of empathy for her. And that's it's a really hard place to be in when you feel that way. And also she's young, you know, she's in like university at this time. You know, it's not to say like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe she was sharing that. But I think that we need to illuminate the mindset, right? Just bring to the front where her mind was at, just so we can remember that. So those were her very early videos. I was not watching her at that time, but I started watching her 6 years ago. So yeah, it probably would have been right after that. Also, I just want to make note of the fact I'm not going to be showing these clips because, as you can imagine, the entire day when she, or the entire video when she's saying that, she is also, you know, showing her body, showing everything. So I'm pretty sure that the first time that I started watching her was from the video, My Health and Fitness Journey Weight Loss Story. And then from there on, I started watching her content. I had a lot of friends that watched her content. And it does vary some as you get into more of like the 6 year mark, but mainly it is like Pilates workout for lean legs, guide to a lean and toned body, cardio versus weight, lose fat and get toned, day in the life, one epic meal, eat out and stay lean, how to get a lean body, my secrets to a photo shoot, shred. I mean, fat burning workouts, how to have a flat tummy, get rid of bloating and water weight, how to stay healthy, okay? So I'm pointing this out, again, not because I'm trying to say that these things are wrong, but when you look at even the thumbnails, most of them are her showing her body and looking, you know, quite like she's really focusing on the emphasis of being fit. And what's really interesting is that at this time, so around the 7 to 6 year mark, when she was really blowing up on YouTube and was, I mean, and her business, and she was also, in her words, the most shredded she had ever been, she later came out to say that at this point in time, she was in a completely unsustainable place. She did not have her period. She was losing hair. She constantly felt fatigued. Her lifestyle wasn't sustainable. She felt obsessive about the gym. And I'll further prove this later on when I share a video that she put together herself. But I think that this is important to remember because of the fact that when someone is in this moment, right, when they are sharing this stuff, I do not believe at all that she was sharing it with ill intent, that she was sharing it to try to perpetuate diet culture, right? But it does not mean that it wasn't perpetuating diet culture. And let's just make note of the fact this was of the times, right? It was not very normal to be sharing non-diet information. And even some of the things that she shared, and what I think attracted people to Sarah in the first place, is that she would definitely mix in this kind of note of intuition. You know, she would say, even from the very beginning, you know, if your body needs rest, you can sleep in and, you know, listen to what you're craving. She would say stuff like that. But it, you know, when you kind of listen to the messages, sometimes you could wonder, you know, do these two things align? Is she herself kind of going back and forth the two? Who knows? Who knows what was going on in her head at that time other than what she's explicitly told us, which is all that I'm telling you. So as I mentioned personally, I started watching her around the 6.5 year mark is what I'm going to call it. And I became obsessed with Sarah. And if you know my journey around that time, this was towards like the very kind of end of my true eating disorder, like my deepest struggles with my eating disorder, and beginning of some of my kind of recovery journey. And it was such an interesting time that I started following her, because when I was following her, in my mind, I felt like she was going through exactly what I was going through, and she was helping me to get out of it. And yet it's interesting, because in some ways it feels like that's true and untrue at the same time. Now, the example I'll use of this is the video, and I remember this video. I can even see right now as I'm looking at it, the amount that I've watched it. It talks about binge eating struggles, which is, you could argue, we won't put name to it. You could argue, though, that clip that I played you about the way that she was interacting with fruit and nut mix, it was very similar, right? Kind of like a out of control type of situation. Some would call it binging. You can call it whatever you want. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, yes, this is exactly what I struggle with. I struggle with binge eating. But then what happens in this video is that the way to solving the binge eating that is proposed is more restriction, getting back on track. And I feel for Sarah in the fact that, you know, she is just sharing her journey, right? And that's the weird thing about influencers that share their journeys, especially when they're centered on food and nutrition and fitness, is that they are not professionals. You know, she didn't have any school. She was actually going to school to be a primary teacher before she then fully went into YouTube, because her YouTube started to take off. And so when they're sharing, it shouldn't be something that comes off in a way that they are the expert and that people should follow what they do. But naturally, even if that is not their intention, that is what ends up happening, because we feel, especially on YouTube, we feel very connected to influencers. We feel like they get us, we feel like they know us, and we want to be like them often, even if it's subconscious. And so just to call myself out, if I were to have seen some dietitian online sharing about the ways to heal your binging, especially if I didn't like what they were saying, such as diversify your foods, make sure you're eating enough during the day, take food off of pedestal, any of those type of examples, versus seeing Sarah share about it, and she's sharing all the same struggles and emotions and things that I'm experiencing, and then saying, this is what I'm doing, even if she's not telling me to do it, because of that parasocial relationship that I had to her, I listened to her. I would listen to her over someone else. And I also just want to make note at this point that Sarah is just one of many influencers that have these exact same types of influences on people. And even if they directly said to people, don't do what I do, there would still be people that do it. And in this era, it wasn't really seen as strange to be sharing information in this way. And this was what was very powerful and very problematic about this initial era of YouTube, where it almost felt like things were just all over the place. So to go back to our timeline with Sarah, you know, this is when she, for this amount of time, she really continued to share very similar types of content. She kind of had the whole same fat burning stuff, healthy eating, getting rid of bloating, all of those things. Definitely talked a lot about getting rid of cellulite and her cellulite. And I could play you so many clips from this time that sound so similar to the first ones. I think she shifted more away from the focus on her body, but there was always a theme of body checking, of, you know, talking about getting back on track. And yeah, there was just a lot of that type of stuff, until she started talking in I mean, again, 6 years ago, about her diagnosis of PCOS. And so once she got diagnosed with PCOS, there started to become more of a focus on getting her period back. So you started to see that come into the conversation, and there was a little bit more flexibility than there was before, a little bit less diet culture. So it was shifting from a really heavy focus on just her body, right, to more of a focus of, okay, I'm going to heal my hormones. I'm going to have this food. But just to keep in mind, you know, she was still eating paleo at this time. It was always kind of bouncing back and forth between different diets. I remember eating paleo, or trying to eat paleo specifically because of her, which, reminder, not saying that's her fault at all, but it is just the truth. And so that was the theme, as I've said, and we'll get back to what ended up happening with that. But then it felt like she also really started to take off in her career. So, you know, she had a collab that came up with White Fox Boutique. It did extremely well, that she had a lot of success with it. And she, I feel like at this time, started to build a serious brand. And there was beginning to be a shift into a little bit more of kind of a lifestyle content basis. You know, she started to share about her hair. Oh my gosh, for any of you guys that followed her, do you remember when she dyed her hair pink? I still remember it to this day. Seriously, this is what I'm saying about the power of parasocial relationships. It's actually wild. Like, I would cling on to her like she was my friend. But even then, again, with her trying to heal this kind of PCOS, she would be doing all this stuff, and then she would release a video like this 5 years ago. My weight gain, Project Comeback starts now, how to kickstart a healthy routine. So it was just a lot of this fluctuation. Oh, I think I may have said something wrong. I don't know if she did have PCOS, but she also had cervical dysplasia. And so she also healed herself naturally from that. Yada, 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 yada. Okay, so it goes on and on. She then gets pregnant 5 years ago. And I feel like this was a big shifting point. Just to give you context, her video of telling her boyfriend Kurt that she was pregnant got 7.6 million views. And so you can imagine how then at this time, she kind of had this like launching point for no longer feeling like she was quite so, maybe, like, she didn't have to be, and I don't know if she was thinking this, okay? This is totally an outside perspective. I don't know if she said this anywhere, so I hope I'm not mischaracterizing. I'm just imagining that maybe she felt a little less pressure to have it be so focused on her body. Maybe she felt like there was more of an opportunity to move away from that, because something I will say, and maybe this wasn't true for Sarah, but I know it's true for a lot of influencers, even people that I've talked to before that have fitness channels and different stuff. It can feel very hard when you build your following online from showing your body and being quote unquote healthy and showcasing your abs or whatever it is, to then feel like you step away from that or present a different viewpoint, because it often doesn't get as many views. People aren't as interested in it. And that is one of the hard things about content. And so I don't know how she felt during this time. I don't know if she felt that way or not, but there was quite a, you know, noticeable shift at this point in time as she went more into this kind of mom type of content. You know, she had always wanted to be a mom, didn't have to focus maybe so much on her body, all of those different things. But, you know, there then becomes the return a year later of Project Comeback after she does give birth. And she had fitness guides that she started to come out with. Now, again, back to my personal experience, I actually bought two of these fitness guides and did those fitness guides as well. Again, when I was in not as bad of a place, but still not fully healed. And there's nothing really directly wrong with the fitness guides or anything, but they are very high intensity, very intense, I will say that. And what this brings us to is really one of the kind of scandals that occurred that I've talked about before already on my channel, which was her third fitness guide. And this kind of brings us to a very interesting head on both of the trajectories that we've been following with her, from the trajectory of her own personal relationship with food and body image that has never before really been exposed up to this point. Like, she's never talked explicitly about how she was doing during these other times that she's been sharing in on YouTube. And it also brings up one of the biggest controversies that happened for her, amongst others. And we're not going to get into all the controversies that she's had. There are a few, but in this, we're going to focus on the ones that are influenced by diet culture. So here is the video that she came out with around 3 years ago to promote her guide, Sweat It Limitless.
To the girl who lays in bed every night and overthinks everything she ate that day. To the girl who forces herself to stay at the gym for over an hour. To the girl who dwells in guilt if she misses a workout. I was you. Getting myself to this point was far deeper than just the physical. It was about changing my mindset and creating a lifestyle, nourishing my body, listening to my body, moving because I love my body, not because I'm trying to fix it. So shout out to the girls who have come full circle and can rest in balance. Consistency over burnout, balance over restriction, and finally, listening to our bodies.
Okay, so as you listen to that video, you may have any number of different responses, and I just want to repeat that if you want a full deep dive on my thoughts about this in the discussion points, I do have a YouTube video where I go through it all, and we won't have time to do all of that in this episode today. But I think the important thing to note is not what she's saying, right? What she is saying is totally fine, right? But there are a few things that are very important about this. Number one, she had never shared that she struggled with these things before this video, at least not broadly, publicly, but especially not on her Instagram platform. She had gone on a podcast with these two girls, and she had explained that what I already told you earlier was true about how when she was at her most shredded, it wasn't sustainable, yada, yada, yada. But this is the first time she kind of admits this, particularly on her platforms, on her YouTube, on her Instagram, all of that stuff. Second, you may be wondering what she's promoting. She is promoting a advanced fitness guide with HIIT workouts that's 8 weeks long. So from that video, she is promoting that. And in the caption, it says, I'm remembering it from the top of my head, so it may be a little bit off. It says it specifically in that one video, but essentially, like, in 8 weeks, you'll either have like 8 weeks of excuses or 8 weeks of progress. So dissonance there between the caption and the content and what's being sold. Now, as it is, what we can see from this is, number one, those habits that are being explained are disordered habits. They are unbalanced habits, whatever you want to call them. That doesn't mean if you relate to what she's saying in that video that you yourself have disordered eating or an eating disorder. I'm not trying to diagnose you, but those are not things that normally we want people to experience. So her admitting that she had that and her sharing this is very big, because this is also her first time kind of admitting this to an audience that has been accumulated over time from the content that I've explained to you thus far. So many of them have similar mindsets to what she used to have or still has. Who knows? We don't know exactly where she's at this point other than what she's explained. So this moment for them is pretty revolutionary, because they may be thinking, oh my gosh, she gets me. She knows me. Like, this is exactly how I feel. But the issue is that we're promoting this intensive fitness guide, which unfortunately is not in the slightest going to help at all with the problems that she has mentioned. You know, doing an intensive fitness routine is not going to solve any of those, kind of like the dwelling about missing a workout or the stress, and it's not going to bring you more balance and different stuff. I mean, are there random one-off scenarios where maybe it could? I'm sure there are. But that does not mean that that's going to consistently be the case. The third thing is, people were quite upset about this promotion. Many comments were made about how this seemed really inappropriate. This, you know, was not aligned with what would actually help these people. Why is she targeting very vulnerable populations and selling to them? And she blocked and deleted pretty much every single comment. And this is well documented. I'm not making this up. I have some screenshots of the comments from when I made that past video. And so there wasn't really ever a time where there was accountability taken for the action of using this pain point as a way to sell a guide. And something that I'll say about Sarah that I think is very impressive and obvious is that she's an incredible businesswoman. She's very good at marketing. She's very good at coming off as personable. And, you know, at this time, we were finally kind of seeing this push away from diet culture. And I think that if I'm looking from the best intention, I would imagine that she did not have ill intention with this. I really would. And I think the reason why I say that is because I think, although I don't know, I try to assume that most people are good people deep down and they have good intentions. And I would hope that Sarah is the same. And I think the reason why this probably got passed by her and her team is because, number one, her team doesn't understand that this could potentially be problematic. They probably don't have experience with it themselves, which many of you listening to this are like, I don't get it. That's totally understandable. You know, we're all different. And if you don't have experience with something, it can be very hard to understand. But number two, she's probably still, if I had to guess, you know, and this could be wrong, but she could still maybe be too close to what she's describing to fully see maybe how it could be hurtful. And maybe she's not, but that's a chance that that could be happening. There's a chance that that could be happening, which would explain why she would think that this was appropriate to put out. So this was like a huge kind of moment of a scandal that happened, and we never really saw her talk much about this again, not on Instagram. I mean, she definitely will throw in every now and again, and I don't watch her videos like I used to. I don't actually really watch any of her videos anymore, but I did some for this video or for this content. But I think the thing is that she probably recognized, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that, or maybe she didn't. Who knows? We can't read her mind. But I feel like what is, actually, I forgot one thing. I just want to go back quickly. In this video where I talked about this, I had a lot of people asking me, why can't someone that's triggered by this content just unfollow? And I feel like this is one of the points I want to hit on this in this video that's really important, is that let's take me, for example. Let's just throw me under the bus. I can be thrown under the bus in so many ways because there's so many things I've done wrong in my life, okay? When I was following Sarah at first, I had no idea that what she was sharing could potentially not work for me. And that could potentially have been disordered for her at that time, as we see her share in this video that I just played for you. And I really thought that what she was doing and what I was doing by being inspired by her was healthy for me, even though it was not. You know, when I look back, for me, it wasn't healthy at all. So that's the one piece, is that there's just a total lack of awareness. Now, there's a second stage when awareness gets added, where there is almost, you know, you go through the cycle of grief almost. There is denial in this stage of, oh my gosh, well, you know, this is probably good for her. Maybe I can still follow or whatever it is. And there can be this weird sense of being so attached to this person that you don't want to let them go. You don't want to let the relationship go. You don't want to stop following them, even if you know the content isn't personally benefiting you. And so you can't remove yourself from it. You just feel like you need to continue to do it. And then the other thing about getting triggered is, which is, this actually kind of ties back to the first point. Within that, let's say I, my past self, would have watched that video before I was healed, I would have bought that guide because I would not have realized that there was a mismatch between what she was sharing and what that guide would do. I would have thought, oh yeah, nope, I'm going to do this, which goes into the kind of denial. Then we have more of that awareness phase that I was just describing. And then there's also just with being triggered by something, there can be this weird way that we also self-blame. Like, oh my gosh, she can do all of these things and they're healthy for her, but why can't I do these things? I can't tell you how many clients I have that I talk with about this, where they essentially feel so angry that other people can do the things that they want to do. So for example, other people can focus on weight loss or eating paleo or XYZ and it can be healthy for them. The hard thing about this is that we don't know if it's healthy for them or not. So in this case, we learn later on that it was not healthy for her, but in the moment it can feel like it looks like it is. And so we beat ourselves up for it. So even if we're triggered by something, we don't feel like we need to remove ourselves. We almost feel more drawn to it because we're like, well, if I learn enough from this person, then I will no longer be triggered by it or whatever it may be, right? So there's a lot of different reasons as to why this can happen in the way that it does. But what we can say at this point is there is kind of a life shift that seems to start to happen with Sarah. You know, she has another child, and in her pregnancies, and this was in her first pregnancy as well, she talked about how she could eat gluten and dairy again, which she used to say she was basically allergic to those things, or at least intolerant, and had severe intolerances and would like get so bloated. And she said that through her pregnancies, she was able to eat gluten and dairy. And now after Malachi, her second child, she is completely able to eat gluten and dairy whenever she wants. And so now, as I was watching her more recent videos, first of all, many of them are not focused on food and exercise and, you know, her body. But also, most of them, she is eating in a much more diversified way. So she has a lot more different foods that she includes. But what I will say is the most recent video where she really talked about health again is in this vlog called Confessing My Bad Habits, Spend the Day With Me. So I pulled one part of this that I feel like kind of, it's just one part, right? I'm not trying to say that this encompasses her relationship with food and health. Also, this is 9 months ago. Think of how much we can change in 9 months. So who the heck knows where she's at now? But just to try to give you an updated clip from when I was playing them in the past.
Nothing wrong with muesli bars, but I would rather...
Why do you think you have muesli bars all the time?
I think I have a low-key sugar addiction right now, addicted to like the fake chocolate, fake caramel thing going on. So I just want to encourage my body to go to fruit. I just want to wean off my muesli bar addiction. Like, it's real. So everything in there is clean.
So again, tiny clip, okay? And in the rest of the video, she kind of explains like some of the bad habits are just like staying up really late, scrolling on her phone, and others are just feeling like she's not prioritizing whole meals because she's getting really busy. But then there's also things where she'll kind of throw in about like, oh, I have sugar addiction right now. And, you know, who knows how serious that is, because I think in our society, it's very normalized to talk about food in this way, to say things like, I have a sugar addiction or whatever it is. So I'm not trying to use this clip as a basis for trying to extrapolate what her relation, I'm not trying to extrapolate what her relationship with food is from one tiny little sentence. But I do think it shows you that obviously, as I've mentioned, there have been big changes from that very first video. And yet there are still similarities. You know, there are still thumbnails of side by sides of her body. There are still kind of conversation like that, that, you know, if it's not understood by her audience that sugar addiction is not a real thing, which I have a podcast about that. If you want to hear my viewpoint on that, I will link it in the description, then it can continue to perpetuate diet culture like ideals, even if it's not her intention. And so I know I've gone through a lot of explanation on her journey and kind of walked you guys through this whole thing. But the purpose of this was to try to help to build a story to showcase the story of how diet culture can be infused in people's mindsets. And even if they have no acknowledgement of it, how then what they share and how they present themselves can affect others, even if it's not their intention to do so at all. And especially, I think what is really important about what I shared today, and again, I'm going to call myself out on this in a second, is how you don't know what the people you are following actually have going on behind the scenes. So to start off this conversation, I want to throw myself again under the bus before we even talk about anything with Sarah. When I first started my very first Instagram, it was called Mallory's Fit Kitchen, if you're wondering. It was in 2015. I was a senior in high school, okay? The stuff I shared was so freaking disordered, you guys. Thank the Lord Almighty that we didn't have stories and stuff like we do now, because who the heck knows what I would have been spreading, the BS I would have been saying on my socials. The way I spoke was completely informed by diet culture. It was not well informed. It was so classist, exclusionary. It was all the types of mindsets of, you know, this is healthy, this is not healthy. If you're not eating this way, you're lazy. I mean, it was horrible. You know, and my intention was not to be harmful. That's what's so important. It was not. But it was harmful. Our intent doesn't always equal our impact. But the issue is, I didn't see that. Guys, I was so deep in my disordered eating and eating disorder and orthorexia. I was so deep into it. I had no idea that what I was doing was not healthy for me. And then even when I figured it out, I had such a hard time of letting it go. And I had my own Instagram at the time, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, well, what are people going to think of me if I eat pizza? What are people going to think of me if my body changes? And I had a very small audience compared to what Sarah has. I think I had like 10,000 followers or something, you know, nothing even remotely close to what she had, millions. And then even as I went through my recovery journey, I shared many pieces of my recovery journey online too. And so there were mistakes I made in that journey. There were things that I would never do, never share now that I shared then. And I can't take that back. And the problem is I only see that I wouldn't share it in retrospect. And I know that I had the best intention at the time, but that doesn't always mean it's helpful. And that is what is so hard about life, not just about being on social media, but about life, is that when we look back on things, we can see so clearly all the things we would or would not have done, but we can't go back and change them. And when you have a social platform, it like solidifies all of these periods in your life, and you can't go back and change that you were sharing something that you thought was right, that you thought was best for others and yourself at the time. I mean, it's already there. It's already done. Now, that doesn't really speak to what happens when we silence people. Like if we're moving to Sarah, I think, well, let me go back. So in my journey, I'm just trying to share, like I can understand and 100% sympathize with the very real challenges of looking back and recognizing that there was an issue that you couldn't see at the time. And it sounds like from the just stuff that we have documented that Sarah has said, that clearly when she was sharing, there was a period of time where it was not healthy for her. And yet, of course, in that moment, she didn't realize it. And she only realizes it now retrospectively. And we have no other confirmation about how she feels about food and her body and exercise now, other than like deducing little parts from a video, which, I mean, again, how can we even say what that really means? And so I don't think that the message is here to blame her or to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe she did this. I think the main thing to me that still throws up red flags, and this doesn't include even the other controversies she's gone through, which you can find many of those online, is just how she was silencing people when they were making comments about how her promotion video made them feel. That was very sad to me, because I feel like, you know, when someone comments that something isn't sitting right and it's about some a population that's really vulnerable and then you kind of silence that, that to me feels just sad. But outside of that, I think that what's the most important about accumulating all this knowledge from where an influencer may or may not be, from the content that we have and the things that they've said, is being able to then make an informed decision for you about how you would like to interact with them. So there was a very clear point in my journey where even though I felt like there were things about Sarah that I liked or enjoyed, I did not feel that her content was beneficial to me and it was not interesting to me anymore. And that's not saying that she did anything wrong. It's not saying she's a bad person. It's not saying any of those things. I've done these things with other creators as well. And it doesn't have to mean anything about them. I always say the same thing about myself. If someone's following me and then they decide I'm not serving them anymore, I hope they unfollow. I hope they don't feel like they have to just keep watching when it's not supporting them. Because ultimately, this is not a real relationship. And I know that like me saying that as someone that shares online is kind of a weird thing to say, but it's true. You know, we've never gone through a time where we have had such intimate parasocial relationships with people, where we have watched them for so long grow up and change and go through these many periods. And it's not really normal to have, it's not normal at all. It's not normal at all to have 1 million, 2 million people that have watched your entire life in these weird ways that these videos can kind of like crystallize you or crystallize pieces of you. And what is most important, in my opinion, is that we see when diet culture comes in and we recognize, oh, this is the way that diet culture affects people. This is how diet culture could have affected her. This is where I see the diet culture in her words, the judgment of herself, the judgment of her body, the desire to need to change it, the desire to have to eat a certain way, to be so hard on herself. That's diet culture, this pervasive belief that we need to obsess about how our body looks, right? That's diet culture. That's not saying it's her fault, but it is saying we need to recognize it. And then you need to ask yourself, is it helpful for me to see people that are still entrenched in diet culture? And you can decide how you feel about if Sarah does have influence of diet culture, if she doesn't. Again, I'm not here to tell you if she does or doesn't, and I'm not here to tell you what serves you or doesn't serve you. But I do think we need to be made more aware of it. We need to remember that when we are looking at someone online, whoever it is, we don't know everything about them. We don't know how all these things are affecting them. We can feel like we know them from an 18-minute vlog or, you know, watching hundreds and hundreds of hours of their lives. But at the end of the day, we don't. And so therefore, we don't also know how the habits that they are doing truly affect them. And that's the hard thing about social media, you guys. I mean, I can't tell you, and I know I've said this before, but I can't tell you how many people that will slide into my DMs with hundreds of thousands of followers, some with fitness accounts, some with wellness accounts, some with nutrition accounts, that will tell me that they're struggling, that they are having horrible binge eating, that they have an eating disorder, that they have, you know, a fitness obsession. And you know, it's so sad to me to see the horrible impacts that diet culture has on us and how it puts so much pressure on us to constantly feel like we have to change ourselves. But I also think it's on us as consumers to make sure that we question how we then want to interact. And if something seems a little off when you're watching someone's content, or if something just isn't sitting right with you in that moment, you don't have to justify unfollowing. They won't know. You have to do what's best for you. And if you feel uncomfortable unfollowing, you can even mute them, you know? And that should really at least help take you in the right direction. So this video today is a new structure. It's not really one I've done before, and I would love your feedback. And again, I hope that this really comes off in the way that I hope of. I am not trying to say that Sarah's done something wrong. I'm not trying to say what her journey is or has not been outside of the things that she has told us. And even from the things we've told us, we're not going to get the full picture. But I am hoping that this starts to illuminate some things for you and helps you to just make sure that you are doing what is best for you, because that is most important. And anytime the diet culture starts to seep in, we want to be aware so that we ensure that we stay in our best state, because your best life is the one that you feel your best in. And it is not one where you feel restricted. It is one where you feel free, where you feel accepting. And if there are people, whoever it is, someone you're following online, people in your life, whoever it is, that makes you feel opposite of that or influence you to do something else, then you have the permission to take space from them. And hopefully too, me calling out myself lessens the, or more so proves the message that I'm trying to share here. And I don't feel comfortable rating this on a diet culture scale because it just doesn't feel right to rate someone. But I also want to say for any of the people listening to this like me that were in that space of denial for so long and brought into, you know, interacting with things that weren't suitable for them or shared in a way that they know now was not beneficial, I also hope you give yourself grace, because we are all just learning and growing, and it's so hard because what feels right at the time in days, months, years from now may not feel right then, and we're all just doing our best. But it can be hard to have these realization moments of, oh crap, I didn't realize how much this thing was affecting me. So again, thank you for being here. If you enjoyed this, I would love to have you give a rating or a review, you know, give the thumbs up if you're watching this. If you are willing to, I would so appreciate any feedback. If you wanted to send it via DMs, there's also a place in the description to submit episode feedback or your episode ideas. That would mean a lot. It just helps me to know if you enjoy these types of podcasts, because as I mentioned some in the beginning, this for me is the most uncomfortable type of podcast, because I really don't want to have it come off as I'm ragging on people. Like, that is not my goal. And so I've done two because people have so highly requested them. And if there aren't people that benefit from them, then I probably will not continue to do them, just because I only want to create content that's helpful, and I'm not trying to create content that is not. So if you did like this, if this was beneficial, would be great to hear it. And I've been talking for a really long time. So I think I'm going to end it out, but I appreciate you for being here, and I can't wait to see you again soon. Bye, you guys.